We're going to have a walleye outreach meeting today right after service, so stick around. If you want to hear about that or want to volunteer, we want to make sure you're around to hear what's all going to happen and go on as we get ready to really go into this month. This is Resurrection Month. Resurrection Month, right? This is Resurrection Month. There's, you know, we're talking about the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord here. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing, what he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do here in the near future, even today. So praise God. Well, we have a special guest speaker, a friend of ours, and I just want to introduce you to Pastor Naomi. Come on up. Let's welcome her.
Oh, it's so great to be with you folks today. Some old friends, some new friends. It's good to see some familiar faces. Boy, I'll tell you, the presence of the Lord is so thick this morning. Even from the prayer time that we had before church, I was just telling Pastor Tom, my knees are just knocking, and I know the difference between nerves and the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, it is just the presence of the Lord. God's got a word for someone, hopefully more than one today. And, you know, I wish I could tell you that I've got some great new revelation for you, but it's actually something very familiar to all of us. But let's just pray before we get into the word, shall we? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, to be able to commune with the God of all creation. Is just blows our minds that you would want to be in fellowship with us. We thank you. We thank you for your presence always with us. Help us to be more aware of your presence. I thank you for these people here, so gracious and welcoming and warm. Thank you for these pastors, Tom and Elizabeth, for their warm friendship and invitation. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, here we are. We're into the first quarter of the year is behind us, and we're into the second quarter now. So if you started a New Year's resolution, you still have some time to catch up. You know, statistics tell us, though, that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by the end of January. And in fact, Baylor College tells us that 88% of people's resolutions fail that early. And the second Friday of January is actually called Quitter's Day, because that's when most people give up on their resolutions. So, you know, I got to say, I can kind of feel a little bit of that too close to home. There's always good intentions that we have, right? This year I'm going to finish that book, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm finally going to organize that closet. We have good intentions on things that we want to do, maybe bad habits that we want to break, or maybe new habits that we want to start. And I know what that's like. I have a lot of good intentions. I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to serve better. And there's just so many habits that we've established and broken over the years during our lifetime. And maybe some of those have not been good habits, and we've been successful in breaking those, or maybe we've been able to put some good habits in place with some success. You know, and that's the sporadic nature of our human nature, isn't it? We just are kind of inconsistent with some of those things. We start again, we stop again, and we're going to always do better. Well, this morning we're going to look a little bit at our prayer life. Because most of the people that I talk to, I don't care if it's a seasoned pastor that's been leading a church for 20, 30 years, it seems like prayer is something that we all just struggle with. You know, and I don't know why that is, because we are in a love relationship with God. And when you love someone, it just seems like you want to be in communication with them. But we also know that there is an evil presence on this earth that wants nothing more than to separate us from that communication with our Father. So it's something that we do have to be intentional about, because we know that prayer is important. There is several Bible passages that highlight the importance of prayer. Matthew 5 and 44. And I apologize, we don't have slides this morning. My Apple computer didn't want to communicate very well with Pastor Tom's PowerPoint. So I decided not to let it stress me out, and I will just go slow. And if you need to go back and look at the live feed to get some of the references, don't get hung up on it. God, just grasp the heart of the message. Can we just relax in his presence this morning and just enjoy? So Matthew 5:44, though, tells us to pray for those who persecute you. We know that Matthew 6:5 says, and when you pray, Matthew 6:9 says, this then is how you should pray. Romans 12:12 says, to be faithful in prayer. Are you catching kind of a trend here, how this is kind of important? Ephesians 6:18 says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We know that Philippians 4:6 tells us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to present our requests to God. Colossians tells us to devote ourselves to prayer in Colossians 4:2. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray continually. And finally, in 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. We know that Jesus made a priority of prayer. Matthew 14:23 says that after he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. We know that in Matthew 26:36, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and told them, sit here while I go over there and pray. There's so many verses where we can see where even Jesus really modeled for us how important prayer is, because we know that prayer is how we communicate with God. And we know that it allows us to participate with God's work here on the earth. We know that prayer gives us power over evil. It's always available. Think about that. Prayer is always available. There's never a time that God doesn't want to talk to you. Don't you love that? I know there were times when my son was little, and he was, Mom, Mom, Mom. And you're like, not now, Tyler. I just want to finish one thing. But it's nice to know that prayer is always available. God always wants to hear from you. There's never a time. Isn't that great? And we know that prayer strengthens the bonds that we have with each other as believers. And most importantly, I think prayer succeeds where all else fails. And isn't it sad? Sometimes it's the last thing that we go to. It's like when we've exhausted all of the possibilities, oh, I guess I'll go to prayer, because we know that it always works. So my question then is, how important is prayer to you? Because if you're anything like me, and I hope you're not, consistent prayer is a struggle. But I look at those in the Bible who seem to have done prayer well, and I want to draw from their strategy on how did they do prayer and how can I get better at it? Well, we're going to look at one person in particular. If you have your Bibles with you or your Bible app, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel in the Old Testament. After Psalms, I'll let you get there. And the first six chapters of Daniel tells us about some Hebrew people, a Jewish man named Daniel, who's living in exile in Babylon. And the first half of the book, the first six chapters, we learn about how these friends of his are doing and the challenges that they're facing while they're in exile under these foreign rulers. And it's where you're going to find the Daniel in the lion's den story, but we're not going to focus so heavy there. Daniel 6 and verse 10 is our text, and we're going to read it if you're there. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, and we'll unpack that in a little bit, he entered his house. And it says, now in his roof chamber, he had windows that opened toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. And if you're an underline,